this morning. We are continuing in 1 Peter and chapter 2. And if you want to turn there, feel free in your Bible app or in your actual Bible, that sort of thing. And so that's what we're going to be diving into this morning. I couldn't tell you how many different times, I've heard in my house from the girls that they couldn't find something in their clothes closet. Is that a familiar experience for any parents there? And not saying girls, I'm just saying people, parents, you kind of can relate probably to what's going on that way. And I couldn't help them much because Sherry pretty much, forbids me from entering into the laundry process in any way. There's a very particular way it's supposed to be done. We laugh about that and joke about that all the time. I have no chance of keeping up with the regimen, so I'm just off limits there. But so she will be the one who is responsible mainly for the laundry, and she, when they were growing up, she would always put them, fold them, and then they would have to put their clothes away in their closet, and then they couldn't find anything. Now, even after the kids put away their nicely sorted and neatly folded piles of clothes, it was all done for them, they a lot of times couldn't find that one thing they were looking for, you know? So Sherry would tell them, it's in your pile, right? It is in your pile, go back up there and check again. And then they'd take a second pass through, and sometimes they'd find it, sometimes they wouldn't. They'd come back down, and she would tell them, go back up there again. It is in your pile, I know, I put it there. No, it's not, Mom. Yes, it is. And then there would inevitably be that sort of threat, like, look, if I have to come up there and pull it out of your pile for you, you're going to have to fold your own laundry. And then, amazingly, oftentimes it was found. And if it wasn't, sure, you go right up, boop, 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 here it is, right? So it's just kind of the way that things worked. And it's amazing the kind of depth there is in God's word. Like, oftentimes, taking one pass through a passage is not going to find everything that you're looking for, right? Because sometimes if you don't go back again for a second time or even a third or a fourth time, there are things you're not going to see. I find that to be true a lot for me. So this week, we're taking another pass at the same passage we talked about last morning or last week, and we're going to do that this morning. So some of the things you're going to hear might sound a little repetitious, and I understand that, but know that as we go back through it once again, I believe we're going to find some things, I know we're going to see some things that we didn't see last time. So we are focusing in on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. So if you want to follow along with me, feel free. And Peter writes, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's take a moment and pray. Father God, this morning we pray that this passage, these words, would be something that speaks to our heart once again. That as we take this second pass through, that you would reveal to us things that we need to see that maybe we missed before. Maybe we didn't kind of hone in on before. And we pray that the words even that I'm sharing this morning would be a reflection of your heart, not just my own thoughts. Ask for you to be the one speaking and leading and teaching and guiding this morning. And just be with us as we have open hearts and open minds to hear what you have for us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we talked about last week how Peter, he makes some different comparisons. And the one that he starts with and that he elaborates on the most is that we are being built up like living stones. So he says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. So when you trust Christ, you get a new heart. You get a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, Scripture tells us. You get a new spirit that is alive within you. You're spiritually dead, but you remain spiritually alive in Christ. And he says then, not only this, but you are a chosen race. Like, you are part of a chosen race. As a follower of Jesus, you are his chosen group of people. It isn't about nationality or skin color or anything like that. It's about your response to and your trust in Jesus. He says you're a royal priesthood. Royalty is about power and position and prestige and privilege. We're royalty, Peter says. Right? Kings and queens and princes and princesses. But we're not just royalty, we're both royal and priestly. Meaning, as a priest, we've been given the task of serving him. Right? He also says you are part of a holy nation. The idea of a holy nation, as we talked about last week, almost an oxymoron, right? Not one nation in all of history has been what we could describe as holy. Right? Not one nation has lived exactly like God would have them, being set apart, altogether different, and dedicated to serving him. Even the one nation, Israel, who God walked most closely with, barely resembled him at times in their history in terms of holiness. Right? But this passage says you, as a follower of Jesus, are part of a holy nation. You've been set apart for his purposes. So you're part of all of these things individually. You are a living stone, part of a chosen race, a royal priest, part of a holy nation, and someone who belongs to a people that God calls his own. But one of the things that we need to see in this text that's really important is this. All of these phrases are pluralized, right? Last week, we looked at this passage from more of a personal perspective. This is what it means for you, like personally. But Peter wasn't writing these things in a personal type of way. He was speaking not only individually, he was addressing a group of people. So it's also talking to us collectively. And when it comes to us, there are a few things that we share in common. There are three things that happen to us as a whole that we pull out of this passage, okay? Now, the first thing is this. It says, we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus. Like, verse 4 starts out with these words, as you come to him. Right? Peter identifies that this Jesus is the living stone. Like, stones, as we said, they are inanimate objects, right? They're non-living objects. But this stone that Peter's talking about, Jesus, isn't dead. He's alive. Not only was he the living stone, but he also is called the cornerstone. In Isaiah, it talks about him as a tested stone who is chosen by God. Everything we are rests upon him. He's the keystone of the entire foundation. Jesus, like, you take Jesus out and the whole thing crumbles. The whole thing collapses. And as the cornerstone, Peter says this, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame, in verse 6. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. We will never be shaken when we come to him and put our faith and trust in Jesus. So this is who Jesus is, and when we come to him, God goes to work. So the first thing is we come to Jesus, and as we do that, verse 5 says, you yourselves are being built up. Right? So first we come to Jesus, and once we do, we get built up. And that's point number 2. We get built up. Now Peter says you, again, plural, In other words, we together, he's talking about, are being built up into a spiritual house, a temple where God will dwell. Now think about this. You can't build a spiritual house. You can't build a house or a temple out of one stone. Right? Well, I mean, maybe if that stone is like one entire mountain-sized stone and you carved out of it, I guess that might technically be possible. But the reality is you can't do it. You can't do it. We together are living stones being built into a spiritual house where he will dwell with us and within us. So yes, you are one of those living stones, but you are part of something bigger. Right? A spiritual house made up of people in your faith community, right here at Portico, but also believers everywhere around the world. And that includes those followers of Jesus who are not only alive now, but those who have gone before us and those who come after us. Right? We together are being built into something. We're being built into a spiritual house, a temple, the place where God dwells. But that's not the only thing. Verse 9 says, you also are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his own possession. So we are a chosen race. Now, you can't have a race consisting of one person, right? It's not going to work. And if you think about it, biologically, you need at least two people, or that race is quickly coming to an end. That's just the way that it works. If there's only one person, that race of people is going to end. But we together are being built up as a chosen race, a people who have been established by God and called to be his own. He says that we are a royal priesthood. Now again, you can't have a one-person priesthood. That's just a priest. It's not a priesthood. We together, as followers of Jesus, are being built up into a royal priesthood, a royalty and priesthood who serve him together. We are a holy nation, he says. Again, you can't have a nation of one person. That wouldn't really fit the description of what a nation is supposed to be about. But we together are being built up into a holy nation, a people of his own called to be set apart for his purposes. See, in all these cases, more than one person is required. More than one person is required. So these descriptions aren't just about you individually or me individually. They are about us collectively. So we together form all these things. We are the ones he calls his own. We are the ones he has chosen. But now the question is, chosen for what? Right? We are these chosen people. We've come to Jesus. We're being built up, but for what? And verse 9 tells us that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we come to Jesus, we get built up, and we proclaim his excellencies. Now, this is an interesting word here, getting a little nerdy for a moment. It's the only time this word is used in Scripture, this particular fashion of it. The Greek word is ex angelo, and it means I announce publicly or proclaim. Right? I announce publicly or proclaim. Now, it's a verb, so that's an action, right? It's something you have to do. It's second person and it's plural, which is what we've been talking about. Peter isn't saying this about himself. He's saying, like, you together announce publicly or proclaim his excellencies. And then doing a little research on this phrase, I am not a Greek scholar, but doing a little research on this phrase, this is in the aorist tense and the subjunctive mood. Yes. That's so cool. I had no idea what that meant. So what does that mean for us? Well, you could sum it up this way. It means that this word, this action, should be viewed as something that is a definite outcome, which will inevitably happen, but it's the result of another stated action. Okay? So it's a definite outcome. It's something that's going to happen, but it's the result of another action. So we will publicly announce or proclaim his excellency because of some other action. And what is that other action? Peter tells us it's that God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Right? Because God has done this for us, called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, the expected outcome, the response, the anticipated result, the inevitable thing that's going to happen is that we are going to proclaim his excellencies. That's what we're called to do. So how can we do that? How can we do that? And that's what we want to spend a couple of minutes on this morning. We have to connect a few dots together with this passage. Like Peter had said here that we're living stones being built into a spiritual house, that we as like holy and royal priesthood and all this stuff, where we are going to, in verse 5 it said, offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. All right, we can proclaim his excellencies by offering these spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. There's a passage in Hebrews that kind of elaborates, gives us a little bit of insight on some things that we can be doing, and that's what we want to turn to here. Hebrews 13 is just 15 and 16, and this will be up on the screen. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 says this, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. It's a lot. Let's hear it one more time. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Three things we can pull out of this passage that can help us proclaim his excellencies. And each one of them comes with a little challenge for us for this upcoming week, okay? So the first thing is that we can proclaim his excellencies in our words. In our words. Now the reality is we proclaim excellencies all the time. You may not realize it, but let me give you an example. Let's say I'm talking to someone about hiring a plumber. I would mention that the guy that we use is Dan Kelly of Dan Kelly Plumbing. And I would tell you, like, look, from my experience, right, he comes out to your house as quickly as possible. He does really good work, has pretty good rates. Seems, you know, he's a good guy, like, very trustworthy. So I would recommend him because I know he'll do a good job. That's proclaiming excellency with my words. We proclaim excellencies of our hometown if we like our hometown, right? We proclaim the excellencies of our schools. We proclaim the excellencies of a favorite restaurant, of a favorite sports team, of a movie or TV show that we love. We proclaim the excellencies of our kids. We're proclaiming excellencies all the time. But we're called to proclaim the excellencies of the Lord. Right? In Hebrews 15, 16, a little phrase from that verse says this, that we are to share what we have. To share what we have. Now, that implies the material things, right? Money, possessions, that sort of thing. But we should also be sharing the spiritual things as well. We have Christ in our life. We should be sharing that with others. Right? So yesterday I was out snow blowing / shoveling. It was a little bit of each weird weather day. And one of my neighbors was out, so I'm like, oh, I'll go over there and help out, you know. And then had a chance to just have a conversation, talked a little bit about how they were doing and how the year went and all the stuff that was going on there. And I just felt like, look, share a little bit of encouragement with them. And I just said, look, you know, it's interesting. We talked about this in church and translated, I talked about this in church, but, you know, we talked about this in church last weekend. Like, look, our hope is that 2021 is better than 2020. But it could be the same, could just be more of the same, it could be worse. And I just said, you know, but the good thing is we don't have to put our hope in what the year is going to bring. We can have hope in Jesus. Now, this was not like a foreign conversation to this guy. Like, I wasn't, you know, he wasn't like, you talked about Jesus? I mean, that was not a huge surprise for him. But that's a moment of proclaiming the excellencies of him in words, right? Proclaiming the excellencies of him. He's the hope. Now, here's the challenge. I want to challenge you at some point this week to find an opportunity to share truth about Jesus in conversation. Please not on Facebook. Like, you can do that too, but in conversation with someone who needs to hear the gospel sometime this week. Do that sometime this week. Now, I'm not saying it has to be something super deep. I'm not saying you have to go all out, but at least give Jesus a mention, right? About something good, something you can share. Look for that opportunity and just see what doors God opens in that conversation, right? So that's a challenge for this morning. Proclaim his excellencies in our words. So that's the first area. But the second area is this: we can proclaim his excellencies in our ways, right? We can proclaim his excellencies in our ways. And the reality is that how we live our lives shows others the excellencies of Jesus, if we're doing it right. If we're doing it right. Again, in that verse 16, it has the phrase, do not neglect to do good. It's like another way of saying do good deeds, right? Do good things, because the way you live your life matters, right? We're supposed to be doing good things. Look, if we don't strive to live the kind of life that Jesus wants us to, then it's going to call into question for others whether we actually believe him, right? Like, I use the illustration of proclaiming the excellencies of my plumber. Let's stick with that illustration. So let's say my faucet breaks and I'm in trouble. It's beyond what I can repair. And instead of calling on Dan Kelly, I just call some other plumber, right? I go ahead and get a different one. What are you going to think? You're going to think, man, you don't really believe what you told me, do you? Same thing with Jesus. We can talk about Jesus all we want. We can say we believe and trust in him, but if we call ourselves a Christian and then don't follow him, don't do what he says, don't care what he says, don't listen to what he says, it's going to call into question everything we believe. Right? Now, Peter's going to go into a whole bunch of ways we can go about proclaiming his excellency through our lives or in our ways over the next couple chapters. And we'll get into that. It's kind of where the rubber meets the road of all this good stuff that he's talked about that we have in Jesus. But we'll get to that in the future weeks. But this week, here's the second challenge. Find an opportunity to do a good deed. Right? Some people just say, hey, do a random act of kindness. And I want to encourage you to do that. Find an opportunity to do that. A random good deed, a good act of kindness for someone unexpected. Now, I'm going to ask you not to do that in your family, right? That's like the easy way out. I mean, that'd be good if you did that in your family. Don't count it, though. Try and find someone outside of your family. And don't, like, make it be a secret. Like, you know, don't go into Starbucks and leave a card and say, hey, the fifth person that comes in after I leave, can you buy their coffee with this card? I don't want them to see me. I don't want them to know, you know, like, we're not looking for, like, Secret Service agents here who are, you know, go with a, leave someone a note. Talk to them. Tell them why you did it. Now, again, I'm not saying we should do it in order that we get praised or noticed, but we just want to make sure that the person we do this for knows that we did what we did because of our love for Jesus, right? So, here's a challenge. Find an opportunity to do a good deed or a random act of kindness this week. All right, that's the second challenge. And here's the third area. We can proclaim his excellencies in our worship. In our worship. Right? That verse 15 said, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Right? Praise and acknowledge his name. We can proclaim his excellencies in our worship. Now, this one we gather to do every week. And you may not have noticed it, but this morning, as the worship set was being planned, I asked Bob, I'm like, hey, Bob, can we just try to pick songs that really focus on, in one way or another, proclaiming his excellencies? And most of the songs do that, and then they do the other things. There's other aspects of it too. But the songs that we did this morning talk about Jesus being greater and being closer to us and stronger than anything that threatens us. It's proclaiming his excellencies. They talk about how he's the one who breaks through chains and tears down walls, right? His excellencies. He's the light in the darkness. He's our promise. He's our answer. He carries us and he fights for us. Right? He's the one we owe everything to. And we'll praise him for all of this, right? Proclaiming the excellencies of him. In our worship, we can proclaim the excellencies of him. But we don't just have to do that here at church. In fact, we should do it beyond church, right? So here's the third challenge. Take some time this week, maybe 15 minutes, carve it out of your week, and simply take that time to express your worship to him. Right? Proclaim the excellent things that he has done for you, or that you've read about in his word. Maybe write it down, like just journal for 15 minutes. Write a letter to Jesus proclaiming his excellencies, and bonus points if you share it with someone later, right? Then it goes back to doing it in our words. So three ways that we can proclaim his excellencies. First off, in our words. Second, in our ways, the way we live our life. And third, in our worship. Right. In an email we'll send out today, and I'll post on Facebook, we'll give a reminder of these three challenges in case you didn't write them down and really feel like, man, I'm gonna take that challenge on. I'm going to do that. But we're going to close our time in prayer, and we're going to sing a few more songs that are about proclaiming his excellencies. So if the worship team wants to come up. And let's just pray about this. I know this is maybe a challenge that you might look at and go, wow, I don't know, these three things, this can be tough. And it's even really challenging in COVID and all that. Hey, if God is calling us to do this, if he's kind of prompting that on your heart, I encourage you to step out in faith and just see what God does. See what God does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for your excellencies, for giving us Jesus, for sending your son to give his life on a cross for us, to give us hope, to show your great love for us, to bring salvation, that we could be forever with you for eternity. That is the most excellent thing that anyone ever could do. And you've done it for us. We are grateful. We want to proclaim that. We want to worship you. We want to proclaim that excellencies in our worship in this moment and throughout this week. Lord, we want to be able to proclaim your excellency in our words and in our actions. So help us this week to step into these things as a challenge and not just as a task to do, to check off the checklist or because the pastor said so or because we think it's going to earn brownie points with you or something like that. Because none of that is the right reason. But we're called to proclaim your excellencies because you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. That's what you did for us, and this is our response. So help us to respond as you expect, as you desire, as you long for us to do. Help us to take these steps and these actions this week as you prompt on our hearts. Keep our eyes open, our spirits open, to the opportunities that may unfold before us. And God, even go so far as to put someone right in our path that is so obvious to us that you're calling us to reach out to them and share something in a word, in an action, in a way, or in our worship of you. So we lift this before you and we take these moments now to close in genuine worship of you from the depths of our heart, we pray. In in Christ's name.